When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I don't know, Jeff. It seems like we're getting so close all the time, and we just can't close out the deal.
Yeah, you know, I can't bring myself to be upset about that game, right? Like, I just can't. Right. You know, I know that there's going to be some criticism of the decision to go for two. I thought it was objectively the right call. I actually agreed with it more than I did in the Rams game if they had gotten to that point. Because to me, the big difference in this game is it was a play to end the game. Whereas in the Rams game, even if you got it, you would have given the Rams, I don't know, something like a minute. They had timeouts to potentially go and win the game. And that's the one thing I don't like about that strategy is, okay, you take the lead, but if the idea is, hey, your defense isn't stopping anybody, you're still asking the defense to stop them one time. And we saw that go against them in the Falcons game earlier this year. In this case, the execution on the two-minute drive was so good from a time perspective, from a clock perspective, that it was literally, hey, you got one play from the two-yard line. You make it, you win. You don't make it, you lose. You're not going to get a better chance. You know, two-point conversions are about 50-50. It's a coin flip. You're not going to get a better chance going to overtime than you are in that one moment because the Commanders would have had no chance to even answer. So I can't bring myself to be upset about that.
I agree with you 1,000%. I could have never articulated it the way you did, but I agree with you 1,000%. That was the call. No doubt about it.
And, you know, obviously it's tough because you put a rookie in that situation, but, you know, would you have trusted a rookie more in overtime? I wouldn't. So that is what it is. You know, it's when you look at games at this point in the season, and obviously they weren't eliminated from the playoffs at that point. I think technically they're still not eliminated, but you might as well. We can probably stop talking about it, you know, unless you want to do the crazy math, whatever. I think it's less than 1% chance now. But, you know, at this point in the season, you have to kind of take the positives for what they are. You know, I'm never going to root for a team to lose. I've always, even when I watch the team that I'm rooting for and they're eliminated from the playoffs, I'm still watching the game hoping the team wins. But you kind of become bulletproof at a certain point because even you don't get it. And then you kind of look at the back end and you're like, okay, well, that was probably for the best because winning games is not helping you from a draft perspective at this point. And you want to be able to pull positives. And what you were able to get from Spencer Rattler in the second half of that game, he took over looking at a 17-0 deficit on the scoreboard. The Saints, they got, you know, the time of possession killed them. They only got four possessions in the second half of that game. They scored on all four possessions. You know, I know people are going to come out of that game really down on Jay Kaner. I think when you watch a young guy get into the game, and this is his first career start, like obviously he's in year two, but it's his first career start, and getting off to a good start in those opportunities is so important, right? And that's what you saw with Spencer. In the first half with Jake, you roll out, he makes a nice pass to Cedric Wilson down the field. You know, you're kind of in business. Instead, it's a holding penalty. It comes back. You get a sack. Suddenly it's a three and out, and everything feels negative. You know, you look at how Spencer's second half started. you're staring at a 3rd and 10 that probably should have been a 2nd and 20. And I think Dan Quinn probably overthought it in that situation. I'm looking at a rookie quarterback backed up in his own territory early in the third quarter. I'm making him convert on the 2nd and 20. Instead, they declined a holding penalty, gave the Saints a 3rd and 10, kind of dared them to execute on 3rd and 10. Spencer finds Dante Pettis for a first down. Suddenly you're in business. That drive then ends with the Cedric Wilson trick play to Alvin Kamara that they've been sitting on for weeks. You know, Cedric Wilson, he was an all-pro or all-state quarterback in high school. He can throw the ball, as you saw. You know, he's always thrown it in pregame warmups, and he's got a cannon, and you saw it on that throw. So, you know, that to me, that's a big difference. And, you know, Jake's start kind of went the way Spencer's starts went when he got in there. And in this game, it was kind of reversed. And, you know, I just think there's a lot more reason to be excited about Spencer. I think the one of the reasons you didn't start him in that game is because the last thing I want to do with Spencer Rattler is give him another chance to start and bench him at halftime. And I think going into that game as a coaching staff, you knew that this is kind of the season for you and you have to pull out all the stops. And so if it's not going well, you got to change course. And they were very ready to do that. And I just think you didn't want to do that in reverse where you if you bench a guy – twice in the span of like 8 weeks, how do you come back from that? You know, so yeah. I don't know. I feel good about what the Saints were able to do. You know, obviously they're 3-2 under Darren Rizzi. The two games they've lost have come down to the final possession. You know, these are exciting games. They're games you were in, games you're competing in against playoff caliber teams. You obviously like to get over the top. But again, at this point of the season, you're looking for positives. And I thought the positives definitely outweighed the negatives in that game.
No doubt. And the time of possession that you referred to, Washington had the ball 40 minutes and 50 seconds, New Orleans 19 minutes and 10 seconds. That's hard to overcome, especially with the third down efficiency rate of Washington at 52%. That's tough.
No, and I mean, you got Jaden Daniels to the ground 8 times behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
now,
8 sacks.
Only 5 of those were the defensive line, right? Like, so 2 of them were Willie Gay tackled him on kind of a scramble, like just shy of the line of scrimmage. So that goes in as a sack. Demario Davis had another one that was very similar. Ugo Amadi also got through for what was a real sack. But, like, so realistically, it was 6 sacks that you'd count as an actual sack in terms of you affecting a pass. But, no, I thought the Saints defense did about as well as you could. And that's telling of just how good Jaden Daniels is, even as a rookie in the NFL, because containing Jaden Daniels looks like 11 carries for 66 yards. He's the leading rusher in the game, 25 of 31 for 226 yards and 2 touchdowns, 66 yards on the ground, 80% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 118.5. And I feel like the Saints played him well. That's how good Jaden Daniels is at this point in his career. And that's scary for the NFC East, I have to imagine. But I thought this was one of the first times I've seen the Saints defense actually play a mobile quarterback well. And it feels kind of like a proof of concept game for them a little bit. You know, you held the Commanders off the scoreboard or out of the end zone in the second half. They benefited from a couple, you know, missed opportunities to Terry McLaurin down the field. They were living dangerously there in the third quarter. But, no, I mean, the Saints touched the ball on offense 1 time in the third quarter. You know, they executed. They scored a touchdown. They never got the ball back until the fourth quarter. So, you know, the Commanders played that game well. But in the end, the Saints still had a chance. So that's kind of the razor-thin margin of the NFL. Like, when you get a chance to come down to one play and win or lose, you take it. Because, as you can see, like, the Commanders kind of dominated that game, and they were on a razor's edge of losing it.
Yeah. No doubt. And that was – it was kind of a weird game. I got the sense, I don't know, that if we didn't have bad luck, we'd have no luck at all right now. Because I think we have two injuries again this game, you know, with Alvin and – my mind just went blank. We had somebody else that went – yes.
So MVS got hurt at one point, but he came back.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid went down with a stinger on that possession. It sounds like if the game had gone on, so if you had kicked the extra point and gone to overtime, it sounds like Kool-Aid would have been able to go back in the game. So that's positive for his, you know, availability this week. They do have an extra day, so that'll help some of these guys get kind of where they need to be to go up to Green Bay and play in the Ice Bowl. But Alvin's injury is the concerning one. I was talking to someone at the facility last week, and they're like, man, he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing for the first time in his career. And I was like, hold on, let's not say it yet. Because one injury and suddenly here we are again, because he's sitting there with 940 something yards or 60 something yards. And we'll have to see, because when you're talking about Alvin Kamara, a guy who you've signed to an extension and the season's over, exactly how much motivation are you going to have to be like, hey, you know, you might not be 100% right now, but we're going to throw you out there anyway just to get to 1,000 yards. No, you're going to be thinking next year for Alvin, because you're going to need him next year. And you're going to be thinking this year for Kendre Miller, because I want to showcase him and give him a full workload and see what he's got. So we'll see how the injury kind of looks for Alvin. It's a groin issue. It didn't seem major. It sounds like it happened on the crazy touchdown catch from Cedric Wilson. He tried to stay in the game, didn't work, came out on the next possession, and never returned to the game. But the injury luck is tough. So are the turnovers. You know, one reason the Saints are losing these games is they're not able to force turnovers, and they've had opportunities. I'll have to go back and look at some point, but it feels like, just watching the games, that there's been so many forced fumbles that just bounce right back into the opponent's hands. I could think of two on Kirk Cousins alone that Peyton Turner forced a strip sack, and the Falcons were able to dive on it. In this game, the opening drive, which was really a bizarre drive for the Commanders, you forced a fumble near the goal line. If you take control of that ball, you keep points off the board, that's a massive swing in that game, and you were unable to jump on it. And those are, you know, when you're talking about close games, not being able to take advantage of those things, it's the reason you lose. If you force one turnover in that game, I think you have a chance to win it. If you score the red zone, in either of those drives, or I think you only had one drive into the red zone, but you had settled for field goals twice. If you finish those off with touchdowns, you give yourself a chance. But that's, you know, when you look back at the stats, you can always find, you know, 4 or 7 points that would have swung everything.
And I'm always encouraged by, and not that they would do this, because I'm not one of those believers, but you've heard the naysayers about, you know, the team laying down. I got no sense of that. I mean, they're throwing their bodies all over the place. You know, they're risking injury. I mean, they're going, you know, leading with these tackles. I mean, it's, you know, you got people getting stingers and getting this, and they're in and they're out and they're back in and they don't want to give up. I have nothing but positives to say, and I don't. I attribute that first to the individual player, but the coach in bringing it, you know, together as a team. I don't get the sense that they're laying down at all or taking a hike.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing as a moral victory in the NFL. Either you win or you lose, right? But when Darren Ridley comes out and says, "Hey, I'm proud of the way these guys fought," you know, it's kind of coach speak. But at the end of the day, I think, in this game in particular, knowing what you went in there with, knowing you're talking about a backup quarterback, you changed quarterbacks at halftime, you're in a matchup against a team that you do not, you know, you're Marshawn Lattimore is coming back to town. Like, your star cornerback is playing for another team, you know, and there's going to be some emotion on that end. And you're able to, you know, you were 7.5, you were 7-point underdogs at home. Like, if that's not bulletin board material, I don't know what it is. So you should go out there and fight. You should go out there and prove that you're getting underestimated. But I think that when we look back at this Darren Rizzi coaching tenure, that's going to be something that stands out, is he is getting the best out of this group. You know, it's not always enough to win, but, you know, I don't feel like you're seeing a team that's going out there and, you know, leaving anything on the field. Like, there's energy, there's effort, even in a season that it's going nowhere. Like, let's be real. Like, this season is over from a playoff perspective. You're playing for your job. You're playing for pride. You're playing to put good tape out there, because these guys, you know, Bobby Aber always says, you know, you want an NFL lifestyle, you have to prove it now. So that next year, when they're talking about who we bring him back, and other teams are talking about who we're going to sign in free agency, you got this tape out there. So that's really what this group is playing for now. And I think they're putting out a good product. And because that was a fun game. Like, I don't think anyone went to that game, walked away feeling like, man, I wasted my money. Like, you got your money's worth out of these games.
And let's see, next Monday night, it's supposed to be 28 degrees. in Green Bay.
Hey, that's an unseasonably warm day for Wisconsin. Yeah. I saw that the other day, and I was like, man, we lucked out. It's only going to be slightly below freezing. It will feel very cold at night, but yeah.
The day before is 23, and on Saturday, the day before that, it's 12. So we're getting a break.
If we escape with nothing below 20 degrees, we won that exchange for sure. Like the Packers are going to be out there in short sleeves. They're going to be like, wow, this is the warmest day we've had in months.
I've sat on those sidelines in that temperature of weather, and I'm sure, and I know you have as well.
You gotta want to do it.
It's not pretty. I can promise you at all. Jeff Nowak, as always, we truly appreciate your insight. Have a great week, my friend. We'll listen to you guys on Monday evening.
Yep, you as well. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.